Welcome to the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast. Whether your family has been on this journey for years or you're just getting started, we're here to support and encourage you along the way. And now your hosts, Lynette Ezell and Tara Melber. Welcome back to the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast. Today, Lynette and I want to talk to you about some thoughts to consider before becoming a foster parent. I just think, Lynette, this is really important that you've got to really think through, pray through, and know that the Lord's calling you to do this.
I totally agree.
So there are some important things. We've come up with six that we want to talk about today of things that we want to consider. So the very first thing that we want to do before we become foster parents is spend some time in prayer.
Absolutely. That's right. This will be your greatest tool in deciding if your family is ready to take in a foster child, because everything's about to change.
Right.
And we don't want to get ahead of the Lord, but we also want to be brave to step out and obey. Mm-hmm. The Lord longs for our families to come before Him, united in prayer, seeking His heart. And through prayer, His mighty hand can navigate our lives, and then His desires become our desires.
That's right.
James 5:16 says that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective.
That's right. And King David echoed this in the Psalms when he said, "You guide me with your counsel." And he said it again in Psalm 91:11 when he said, "For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways." And I love the passage as well in the Bible that says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. But that doesn't mean the desires of your personal self-will.
Right.
It means that as you're praying and seeking after the Lord, that just as you said, your desires come into line with his perfect will for your family. And if you can put a stake in the ground, we've said this before, and know at a time that the Lord has called your family and you agree with your husband, if you're married, that this is the way to walk, then when times are difficult and you run into challenges with the child or with adults who are in the court system, then you can still know and look back, yes, the Lord did indeed call us to this, even though it's hard.
Because prayer is going to be a daily habit.
Absolutely.
You know, it's not just praying before you go into it.
Right.
You know, it's praying through it.
That's
through
right.
all of it. And like you've heard us share before, we got the kids around the ottoman and we prayed. And man, it just gave me a lot of confidence.
Right.
On some days when I was struggling or uncertain, Lord, we sought you. We know you've called, you've called us to this.
And there will be others who wonder what in the world you're doing. And so you do have to have the confidence that this is indeed what the Lord asks you to do. So when people start saying, why are you doing this? Or what are you thinking? Then you can know without a shadow of a doubt, this is what the Lord's called us to do. Whether it's hard, whether it's no matter what we have to face, we're going to be able to do this and the Lord will grow us through it.
Absolutely. So before moving forward in foster care, we must be sure we are saturating this decision in prayer and allowing the Lord to direct every single move.
That's right. That's right. So, Lynette, what's another thing we should think about before becoming foster parents?
Well, you know, what I've seen walking with foster families and you and I work in an adoption so long, are you able to be flexible?
I think that's a big one.
Yeah, I cannot express the importance of this. The first few days of a placement will trump everything in your normal daily routine
yes.
of life.
That's right. Because you could get a child, get a call to take a child in at a moment's notice.
Yep.
So you get a call and they say, we're coming over in 2 hours, or they'll be there in the morning, or we'll be there at 11 o'clock at night.
Right.
And everything changes at the drop of a hat.
And in those first few days, there has to be a doctor visit. I mean, in the next 24 to 48 hours, a visit from a social worker, a visit from your agency if you're using one, and there's got to be a school plan made or childcare.
Right.
Those plans have to be in process and executed pretty quickly.
And oftentimes, too, by the end of that second week, you've got to be in court or have the child at a hearing or a family visitation is scheduled or their follow-up appointments. So you have to know when you get that call, whether you've got one child in your home that's your biological child or you've got four biological children and then you're receiving 3 foster kids.
Wow.
It's getting ready to get crazy.
It's divide and conquer at that point.
It really is.
Flexibility is a must because situations change and the children are always mm-hmm. the ones caught in the middle. And it's imperative that foster parents, that we as parents, remain mm-hmm. calm and steady for the child that's caught in this uncertain, painful situation.
That's exactly right. And children don't often, they're not able to verbalize how I'm feeling. Or their behaviors always, there's always a need behind their behaviors.
That's right.
So if they're acting out in a certain way, it's not because they're trying to be defiant at the beginning. It's there's a need behind it. They're scared, for yep. goodness sake. They're in a brand new situation with people they've never met before. And so life is going to be different and we have to be flexible. So if you feel like you're a 100% not flexible person, maybe you should help with wraparound care with a foster family.
Exactly. Rely on the Holy Spirit to keep you calm and flexible.
That's right. Well, the third thing that we've got written down here is that I think is super important. We talk about this a lot, too, is do you have a support system?
Yes.
What do you mean by that?
Well, in your foster training, if you've gone through the training, you were probably advised, we were advised
yes.
when we were going through adoption,
mm-hmm.
to make a list of friends and family members who are willing to help you.
That's right.
This is very important.
And not just people who say, oh, I'll help if you need anything.
Yeah.
I'm talking like your hardcore people that call you when
yes.
your hair's in a ponytail and you don't have any makeup on.
Yes, you write their name down and their phone number yeah. and how they want to help you and
right.
maybe what days they're available.
Yes.
Take it a step further.
Right.
Because fostering a child from a broken place truly is being the hands and feet of Jesus. But we need others to help keep mm-hmm. our arms raised. We talk about that all the time,
yes.
how Moses needed help to keep his arms up. And fostering is full of beautiful moments
That's
and
right.
redemption. But we need community to stay the course.
It's so important. And you've got to have those resources written down. Lynette and I have said this in the past, but even with our adoptions, they gave us this list, our agency
yeah.
did, and said, I want you to fill this in before your child even comes into your home. Who are you going to call if this happens? Who are you going to call
yeah.
if that happens? And that could be everybody from your the guardian ad litem, which is the attorney for your child, or is it your foster care advocate from your agency, or who's the pediatrician that's going to best suit you here?
Yes.
But then who's going to be the person who, when I've got 3 kids at football, basketball, and dance, and I get a phone call that says, I've got to have the child for court in, you know, tomorrow, who am I going to call to say, hey, I need some help picking up my kids from practice?
Absolutely. That's right. You know, the Lord reminded the early church, carry each other's burdens.
Mm-hmm.
And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ, Galatians 6:2. Back again to what we say, not everyone's called to
right.
foster, but everyone can do something.
Right.
Everyone's called to do something within the body of Christ.
That's right. When your child's entering the home, it's not the time to think
no.
about your resources. So have the conversations with your family and friends now and know who you can count on.
And that way you won't grow weary.
Right.
2 Thessalonians 3:13, you will not grow weary in doing good. Yeah, you're going to get tired.
Right.
But weary is, to me, just being at a loss, like, mm-hmm. I just can't go forward.
Right, hiding in your closet.
Yeah, yeah. But when you have the body of Christ supporting mm-hmm. you or sweet friends and neighbors, when you have that wraparound care, when you have that help, when you have I had a great pediatrician in Louisville that
mm-hmm.
I knew I could go to, that took me miles down the road.
Right, absolutely. And it's such a beautiful way for your church family to get involved and everybody being able to get involved. Senior saints helping you out with,
yeah.
you know, watching your kids for a little bit or just your friends in your small group being able to wrap around. It's such a neat way to see the body of Christ really serving each other.
And, you know, another thing we need to think about is, are you able to financially support or provide basic needs for another child? Now, why do you feel that's important?
Well, you know, in all states, if you're fostering, you do receive a stipend to help. It's a daily stipend, but it's really not that much,
right.
honestly.
No.
It's really not. And oftentimes, well, always, it's a reimbursement system.
Yes.
So if your child comes into your home and they are, you know, there at your house with their pajamas on and that's all they've got, you've got to go get them some clothes.
Yeah.
They have to have something to wear. Or if you've got a baby that has diapers and wipes and formula, you're buying all of that
up front.
And then
yeah.
you turn in the receipt and you receive the reimbursement. So if you're not able to do that, this might not be the thing for you.
Yeah, and don't hear us. You don't have right. saying you have to be wealthy to foster.
Oh, heavens no.
Right. But we don't want to take a child out of a neglectful situation only to place them in a home where their basic needs cannot be met.
Right, right. And the state is good about helping you with what they can
yes.
with the CAPT reimbursement system. And so it is beneficial. But you do have to realize that everything comes up front. So even if that means looking for the resources ahead of time to be able to help you, we had a senior adult in our church who provided diapers with Amazon Prime and just had them sent to the foster mom's
yeah, I love that
front
story.
Door. So great.
Such a great idea.
So there are ways to do it. You just have to be creative.
That goes back to your community of care.
Exactly.
Absolutely. And you know, the Lord calls us to be wise while reminding mm-hmm. us that where He leads,
right.
He provides. Philippians 4:13.
Yes.
And my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to rely on the Lord's provision, and we're going to plan ahead to provide for another's needs. We're going
right.
to plan.
That's right. Right. We're going to keep supplies on hand. We're going to make our needs known and not feel prideful that
right.
we shouldn't make the needs known. We're going to accept from others, which is really hard to do sometimes.
Yeah.
And we're going to be generous
yes.
as believers. We're going to share with others our needs.
Yes.
Well, I think, too, one of the things that we've talked about is that as a foster parent, you have to learn how to hold things
mm-hmm.
loosely.
You do.
So when we're talking about things, holding things loosely, mm-hmm. what do you mean by that?
Well, I'm referring to material things. Our stuff is not more important than a child.
Right.
And you got to get your home ready. Kind of
right.
when my littles are coming over, my grandchildren, I call them my littles, when they're coming over, my little baby bunnies, I have to childproof my home a
right.
little bit, you know? And there's some little pretty sitting around that if one of my granddaughters, she just loves them. And when she's playing with them, if they get chipped, I don't really care.
Right.
You know, I think that kind of adds a little character to them. But some things you know that you need to put up. So our stuff's not more important than a child. And after the child's in your home a few days, give them some time, clear boundaries can be set.
Right. That's true. But if there are things that are super important to you, a family heirloom
yeah.
or something that's really valuable to you, put it away.
Yeah.
It's really fine. Because if you think about it, these children who have been in neglectful situations, caring for things
yeah.
is really not necessarily, especially for littles, is really not even in their thought process.
No.
And so they've not potentially had to take care of things, or they've not had new things,
mm-hmm.
so they don't know how to take care of it. So it's a whole new teaching lesson for them.
Right.
So one of the things that we can do is when we reference for caring for things is that we can provide them with new outfits or
mm-hmm.
a pair of pajamas to call their own, or a new backpack to store their things in, and they can have their own little set of items
mm-hmm.
that belong to them where they can learn how to take
care
of
Start training
items.
Them to take care of a few things.
Right.
Yeah. Get them an age-appropriate Bible of their own. Write their name
mm-hmm.
in it. If they're little, use their little hand and show them how to write their name. Read it to them. And then teach them how to handle that one item with
mm-hmm.
care. Begin to train them to take care of things.
That's right. What about holding things loosely as far as your schedule, or not even the schedule? I'm thinking more about holding things loosely, like not having control over what's going to
yeah.
go down with these kids.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very important because, you know, the Lord sees the beginning
mm-hmm.
to the end, and He reigns in the middle,
mm-hmm.
but He doesn't give us the answers right then, does He? And
no.
we just have to, you know, just daily back to our prayer
right.
that we said at the beginning of our podcast, we just have to be in prayer and trust Him with the details.
Mm-hmm. I think this goes back to many of praying and being flexible. For sure, because things are not always going to go as we see planned.
Mm-hmm.
So you may be having you know, supervised visits with family, and then you think that they shouldn't. And so they then go to overnight visits,
yeah.
and you're thinking, what in the world? So we have to finally, when we're thinking about
yeah.
the last point to consider, is to get to the heart of the matter and be honest with yourself and ask yourself, this
mm-hmm.
is going to be a stab in the heart.
It is.
How self-absorbed are you?
Yeah, meaning it's
That's
not about you. Yeah, it's not about me. It's not about you, right?
Right.
So just as you were saying, Tara, social workers and judges will more than likely make decisions for your foster child that go against your preference.
Right.
And may go against your better judgment.
Mm-hmm.
and it may break your heart.
Right.
And you and I've seen that with so many families. Mm-hmm. It's just really hard for them. But the goal of foster care is reunification as far as the state is concerned. Right. And we have to keep that in mind. The goal of foster care is reunification with their birth parents. And so decisions will be made to that end.
And honestly, Lynette, the deal is that if the birth parents can learn and mm-hmm. grow, that should be our goal.
Yes.
Is to go into it hoping and praying that families can be restored. That's really the goal. And oftentimes we can get into it and think, oh, I wouldn't like the way that they were doing something because it's not the way I would do
right.
it. But the deal is that children will thrive best
yes.
in their healthy biological families.
Right. And I had a social worker tell me one time, like, we have in our brain that we think, okay, I have an A family.
Right.
I run everything really well, right? I'm an A family. But they may go back to a grade C family.
Yeah.
But that's okay. Mm-hmm. You know? And I'll be honest, I'm not always an A family.
Girl, me either.
And so, but no matter how hurtful your foster child's home may have been, their birth parents are at the core
right.
of their little hearts.
That's right.
It consumes their thoughts. They're thinking about their birth parents mm-hmm. all the time, whether they mention them or not.
That's right.
They are. They're thinking, when can I go home? Mm-hmm. And therefore, foster kids may say things that are hurtful.
That's right. Right.
But it's not about you. It's nope. not about us.
And we're not the target of their frustration. And we have to learn to not take things personally. Their situation was broken long before foster mom and dad entered
yeah.
their lives. But the Lord is using your family to bring healing into their life. You're a part of the restoration
yes.
story.
Yes, and the Lord's training me through this process.
Oh, right.
He's using fostering and adopting mm-hmm. or just doing wraparound care to a foster family to get me beyond myself
right.
and to begin to minister to others. So he's changing me. We bring up Mark 9 a lot, but mm-hmm. I love that passage.
It says, he took a child and put him in the midst of them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but he who sent me.
Oh, that's just in the midst of all his busyness, mm-hmm. Jesus stopped to give the disciples this lesson.
Right.
That others are precious.
That's right.
And that children are precious and are to be cared for. And we bring him honor when we do that.
Well, as we've said on this podcast before, sometimes you just have to move forward in fear. And do it even though you're scared.
Yep, been there.
And if you know the Lord's calling you to widen your tent and foster a child, then the best and most appropriate thing to do is to take the next step forward in obedience.
Yeah.
Because obedience is what the Lord asks of those who love him.
And every minute, keep in mind, listeners, every minute of every day, God calls his people to be brave.
That's right.
And to be an example of his love to a broken world. And we can't do that and just staying comfortable.
No,
we
can't.
And when we seek him in prayer, when we move beyond ourselves and open our lives to one of his wounded, he receives the glory.
That's right. He's using plain old people yep. like you and me. And it's one of God's most amazing plans.
Yes, learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, and plead the widow's cause. Isaiah 1:17.
You have been listening to the Adopting and Fostering Home, a resource of the North American Mission Board. For more information about today's podcast and other relevant resources, visit sendrelief.org.